It's the National Hour live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios welcoming him in. Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, and as always, Derek Brandale and Jake Schultz. So, Steve Alliquette will join us for probably the first time in what? It's been like a month, Sammy?
I think December 8th.
I picture Flanders skiing.
Where has he been?
In Aspen.
We've got a ton to get into with him.
Stupid sexy Flanders.
Stupid sexy Flanders. He's been doing stuff. He's been skiing.
Including...
What happened to the Rangers since we talked to him last?
The New York Rangers. The Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not going to lead with the Montreal Canadiens, who are the best team in the world.
Montreal Canadiens. And their goaltender, who's set a record for the first two games, giving up, what, one goal?
Yes, that's correct. First time ever in Canadiens history.
Dobish.
Most important part of their streak, they beat the last five Stanley Cup champions in their last seven games or something thereabouts. They beat Tampa, Florida, Vegas, St. Louis, Colorado.
I mean,
is that good?
St. Louis is like, you know, that's quite
a while. Oh, we're talking about taking the most negative angle possible.
That's like the Milwaukee Bucks coming in. We beat the Raptors. They were the Stanley Cup. They're the champions in 2019. It's exactly the same thing.
Did I ever tell you that story where we, like, in 1994, the year that, Ottawa was in the league maybe 1 or 2 years. I don't know when they came in, 92, 93.
Oh, yeah.
And we weren't doing so well. But we went up and beat Ottawa, which was absolutely lousy.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the bus takes us back to the parking lot after we land. And Mark Messier goes, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to go home." He goes, "No, we're not. We just beat the 1927 Stanley Cup champion. We're going out."
You got to celebrate a night like that. Yeah.
So that's your point you're making, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay. Discount St. Louis, then.
But that's in
Florida, Tampa, Vegas, Colorado is
excellent
who they beat. And I would say a month ago, we had the conversation of, like, this organization, what are they doing? Marty St. Louis, is he a peewee hockey coach? You know, we were all over him.
I think it's really good that they now, with their young core and all the guys that they have there, are going to play some meaningful games. That they're not just playing in totally crappy games at the bottom of the standings. Like, they are now,
totally,
by points, not points percentage, but I think by points, they're in a playoff spot right now. So, Listen, the rest of the year may not go their way, but they're playing a meaningful games here now, and it's good. I hate to say it. It's better when the Habs are good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
You just don't want them to be irrelevant.
No.
They don't have to be great. But...
Listen, it wasn't much more than a month ago. Like, Marty St. Louis was getting killed.
Oh, yeah. By us. And...
Yeah, we like to act like other people do it.
That's right.
We were doing it. You were yelling at Sean McKenzie for running up and down the stairs with them. You're all over them.
TSN was all over them. Horrible. And they do their regional games.
Shame on TSN. Goodness. That was ruthless.
Yeah, that it all started with the jogging interview up and down the stairs with Sean McKenzie.
Amazing turning point.
Yeah, they've been red hot.
Lane Hutson, straight up 30 points. Not too shabby. Yeah. Patrick Laine is a big part of this turnaround.
So does every good American player have, like, a brother who's really good, too? Like, the Hudsons, the Hughes. Like, what's going on here?
I don't know.
There's 20 NHL families in the U.S.
His kid brother that was playing for the World Juniors is unbelievable, too. It's geez. Enough American brothers. They're kind of ruined. Like, the Kachucks, they're ruining Canadian hockey.
JT Miller, not a bad night at all. Unfortunately, it came without the extra point. Mm-hmm. For them, losing 5-4 last night to Montreal in overtime.
Miller looked good.
Would it have changed their minds on anything?
They're like, we were going to trade him, but now he looks good.
So hard to move a guy like that right now.
In what sense? Like, you
trade.
Just shouldn't trade good players.
I know, but if we all believe that they're looking at all options, I would tend to believe that JT Miller, from at least my view, has a much greater chance of being traded than Pettersson.
What about this? If it sounds like it's a distraction in the room and people are unhappy with it. The coach is sick of hearing about it. The captain's sick of hearing about it.
Which we thought was like last week.
Right. What if you went to those guys and said, hey, suck it up. We're not trading good players. You can't get good players easily in this league. You're just going to have to live with it.
But you have to believe that that's a solution.
I think it's a better solution than trading good players. What's the name you gave me 2 weeks ago for Pettersson? Zibanejad?
No, it was Miller for Zibanejad.
Yeah, and that's out there now.
Lots of people listen to our show, I guess. But yeah, it was a couple weeks ago you mentioned that. And it was they put a big board up on the Spit and Chicklets thing. I think it was Josh Yeo from The Athletic, Pittsburgh guy, mentioned it in one of his articles. So
they're actually reporting that the trade was offered and
Vancouver turned it down.
Yeah.
Great. Good.
That's the right choice.
It is.
Yeah. It's the right choice.
But it's not hard to look at the salary cap like a jigsaw puzzle, and there's only a few pieces that can fit. Like, you can talk all you want about other trades or other pieces, but it has to fit. And right now, Zibanejad and JT Miller's contracts mirror each other.
Zibanejad.
All right, let's welcome him in.
Sorry.
Don't talk like that on the team that Steve Alliquette covers on a daily basis.
Yeah, come on, Borny. That's not a good start in the new year. What are we doing?
How are you, buddy?
Very good. How are you, fellas?
We're good. So you've been a month off from our show. So we're just going to sit back and let you talk for the next 20 minutes. Yeah. Is that the way it works? Where do you want to start?
Well, you know what? I think it's interesting to go around the league and start to look at some of the guys that are emerging in net. Unless you guys want to start with the Rangers, of course.
Well, no. Are
we linking Vancouver with the Rangers still? Because it won't go away.
Okay. Well, I did hear that a little over a month ago. It was actually when JT Miller was in the assistance program that it was Zibanejad for Miller, and there was an offer there. And I heard it was a no on Vancouver's side. But that's just what I heard. I'm not telling you it's true.
I like that. No, it's.
I don't like to be a rumor machine. I don't know, especially in the news.
Leave that to Doug McClain, would you?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, I mean, it is fascinating. So, you know, we had heard Kreider's name. You know, the Trouba thing happened. Now it's Zibanejad's name. Like, are things calming down at all there? Or are we still expecting changes?
It's you know what it is? It's almost like, can we rehab what we have instead of moving on from everything that we have, because that's how bad it's gone. If you look at the list of the players, whether it's Lafreniere, one goal in 20 games, or you can go right down the list. Cooley now, who was hot for most of the year, is 1-15. You can keep going down the list. What's really bizarre to me is that they are playing a brand of hockey that is so much fun. It encourages everybody to play fun hockey with them, which is trading chances off the rush and playing loose, high event hockey. They give up the most scoring chances, but they also create about the most guys in the league in almost every single category. I just looked at this today, preparing for the game tonight across the street with Dallas. Dallas is a very good team off the rush. They just played on Saturday, Washington, very good team off the rush. They have the Devils coming up and the Vegas Golden Knights coming up. So four of their five games right now are against per se rushed strong teams. And one thing that I've seen with the Rangers, which is wild, they've only won six games in their last 22. And that's dating back to November 21st against Calgary in Calgary. Now, during that time, they've really dried up on offense, but it's not like they're not getting their chances. They are 32nd in goals for with 2.3 per game, but they're third in scoring chances. They're third in quality scoring chances, but they're 32nd in execution.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's wild. I looked at even the last five games, they have 9 high danger chances against Chicago, 13 against Washington, 9 against Boston, 12 against Florida, 8 against Tampa Bay, their last five games since Christmas. They have 14 east to west chances during those five games, only score once. And I'm looking at these chances today, fellas, and 7 of these 14 backdoor chances, it's right in the goalie's breadbasket. It's right in the crest. And you can, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't a goal scorer, but you guys know what it's like when there's pressure in the room and you're losing and everybody gets tight, but nobody's hitting their spots right now. You know, I'm looking at a 5-foot panel here for Lafreniere to hit against Florida, and it goes right in the middle of the goaltender's chest. And it's just one of those where I don't know if anybody can see corners right now, as glorious as the chances that they're getting. So they're getting these great chances one way, but they're also giving them up the other way and ending up more frequently in their own net.
I just note it's crazy because you would think they would break out of that just by luck, but their next four games are Dallas Stars, yeah. New Jersey Devils, Vegas Golden Knights, Colorado Avalanche. That's tough.
Yeah, they're hard part of the schedule, Borny. It's now. Mm-hmm. They slumped during the easiest part of their schedule, and they played backup goalies, and they played number threes. I believe it was 5 number threes during a losing streak and lost. Woof.
Valley, as far as the Vancouver Canucks go, I guess the good news on Demko's injury is it's not his knee, as Talk had told us. Yet he hasn't looked right to you right from the get-go on returning.
Yeah, you know what it is? We're going to talk about this today because I think it's really important when we're talking about young guys, we're talking about health. It is posture and elevation in your stance. When goalies get too wide, they get spread out. They tend to go down early. Shots that are coming from the point that don't make it to the goaltender, if you take a quick glance at the goalie and see if he goes down or he stays on his feet, that's when you know they're really feeling it. They've got their patience. They're in the rhythm of the game. Demko, he does use an elevated stance when the puck's at the point. So his "I'm about to make a save" stance isn't the same as when it's on the perimeter or on the point or off the rush. But if you go to his "I'm about to make a save" stance from last year and compare it to this year, it's narrow. It's certainly more narrow, inches narrow, as much as 8 inches narrow. We went into the video room last year when Shesterkin was having a slump, and we went back to the previous year where he was a Vezina Trophy candidate, not the year that he won, but he was playing at that high quality of game. And we found that his, because we're able to measure with the measuring tool, that his goalie stance, his feet, were an extra foot outside of where they were a year ago when he was successful. Now, when you look at Demko, it really reminds me of, if you remember when Ed Balfour, came to Toronto, didn't he look different in his stance than he did in his first 6 years with the Chicago Blackhawks? Do you remember how low and aggressive he used to play?
No.
And how wide he was? Kipper, you remember, right? Do you or not?
Like, but I can't remember what I had for breakfast.
Okay. And Borny, you would have been young. You were a fan, right?
Yeah, no, I was a fan for sure. My technical goalie expertise that time, maybe not where it should have been.
Well, it's a quick Google search. When he was in Chicago versus Toronto, it's like a different goalie. He brought his feet under him, but he had back problems, right, Kipper? He was going through it a little bit. This is the early 2000s.
I do remember that.
Right. So look at Demko last season versus this season. And to me, it just reminds me that...
So he's overcompensating. The body's overcompensating.
Absolutely. And he's probably knowing this, Kipper, and trying to figure out a way to play under these new conditions. I mean, we all have to. Guys, I haven't told you this story about me, but man, I was coming out of the shower in Springfield. My teammates were having a fight in the locker room. One guy's getting Gatorade, and he stomps on my foot. And I slide back into the shower and my toes, they went down. I mean, it was just the skin on the back of my foot that was holding my toes on. I completely severed all 5 of my tendons in my toes.
Oh, my God.
It was the worst injury. 3 months I was out. And after my second surgery, the first surgery, they told me I'd never play again. Second surgery, I was able to get it so my toes were no longer inverted up, but I could get it in the boot. But the point is I had to learn how to get the proper flexion in my stance that I was still comfortable stopping a puck because I lost so many degrees and range of motion in my right ankle.
I didn't hear anything you said after the toes thing.
Oh, yeah. It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. But my point is that, as you guys know, you have certain injuries during a long enough career, and you need to adjust your playing style. In this case, it's a stance. But he's given up. He gave up, I think it was 7 bad goals so far this year, and in that short time, he only gave up like 10 in all of last season. So you start looking at, he's trying to stop the puck with a new stance. You know, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And that's, it's throwing them up. It throws off everything. It throws off your biomechanics. It throws off your head and how you're looking at it through the release. So I think it's going to be a long road for him. And I think it's a really tough spot that Vancouver's in. Clearly not as bad as the Panthers,
Is the tendency at his age or what he's gone through just to eventually get used to this new way, or can he build himself up back to where he was before?
You know, I'm hearing new things all the time about technology and rehabbing, and God damn, doesn't Stolarz have a dimple, or is it a pebble?
Pebble.
Like, what are we talking?
It's a body.
So, I'm wondering if he can, and I'm sure he's wondering the same thing. It's got to be a challenge because he was a top five goalie for the last 5 years.
So, you know, the Canadian goaltending picture in general is fascinating. Obviously, Vancouver's going through that. Wolf in Calgary is a Calder potential guy. Obviously, here in Toronto, Hellebuck's a Vezina guy. But the one right now that just people are talking about is this Dobish in Montreal. He's only played a couple games. I don't know if you've had enough viewings of him to have an opinion on him yet, but what are your thoughts? Could this guy be the real deal for them?
Yeah, I received a call from his agent to give me a heads up on how well he was doing, and I went into it for a couple hours just because, you know, you hear these new guys, and some of them, like it's Dostal in Anaheim. We've talked about Wolf a lot this year. Askarov right now has been playing a very impressive game in San Jose. One thing that I have consistently noticed with these young guys is they have a strong elevation in their butterfly stance. And what that means is, if you go back to the early 90s, the mid 90s, when we were really learning the butterfly style, the stacking butterfly pads that we have, the knee stacks is what we call them, and they're about an inch and a half thick. Well, they allow you to go down harder in your butterfly and not smack your knee on the ice. Early 90s, guys, we didn't even have those. I was playing in the OHL for Sudbury. We didn't even have that knee stack that we were dropping down on. You just pull the leather really tight on your strap, and you'd really butterfly on the inside of your pad and try and get enough of it so you weren't hitting the ice on every up and down. Now, these young guys, to me, it's like the second generation being able to really master the butterfly. And what I see is that in the 90s, even up until about the early 2000s, a butterfly was a block, and you would really butterfly and go straight up and down and try and be as big as possible. I was about 18 years old when I learned that technique from Francois Allaire, who coached Patrick Waugh. Stayed at his house for 3 days with Zach Burke, and we really learned the butterfly style for the first time. Funny enough, Zach and I went back to the Jim Park goalie school and got fired for teaching that style because we were teaching the skate save instead. So it wasn't a part of the curriculum. So we were a little early on it. But what I'm seeing right now after all these years of goalie coaching is that if we call, and this is what I do with the 14 and 15 year olds when I start working with them, if we call a butterfly block, like you're up at a one, but you're really far away from the puck if there's a rebound. So it may look good and you may look big, but you're not really big because when you get closer with your shoulders to the crossbar, there's actually a vertical angle for the puck to get over your shoulders. Playing at a two is when you really pitch yourself forward and you hang over the puck. It's the way Lundqvist would look on a breakaway. And when you play at a two, to get there in a butterfly, you have to drive through the ice. You need to go hard to the ice so it actually pitches you forward. And now you're playing at a two. When goalies in the NHL are unsuccessful, they are playing at a three most cases where there's traffic and they sit back in their butterfly. They sit almost on their skates. And really sitting back hurts you because when the rebound escapes net front, you're able to only roll over because you can't really get back to a two to move again. What I'm seeing with these young guys, Dostal, Askarov, Wolf, Dobish, these guys are playing hard at a two. Like, I'm actually inspired because I think this next wave is going to make up for the wave that we just lost. I remember earlier in the season talking to you guys about all the big names that have retired over the last 7 years and how there's just not enough good goalies coming up and underneath to fill in. Well, not the case right now. Like, Dobish, you watch his game, and who's he beat? He beats two Stanley Cup champions over the last 3 years in Florida and Colorado. But he's able to move on these rebounds because he's always at a two. This guy is pitched like he is hammered forward, and it's like it frees up his edges, so he's able to really move quickly and explode through the crease. So, am I expecting more success from him? Man, so far, so good. I'm impressed.
Let me just ask you one more on this topic, and that's just in general, when these goalies come up with zero expectations and they get to play with house money, and what a difference that is to go out there and perform early at a high level. And I only say this as I, you know, read that Dylan Ferguson has signed with the Minnesota Wild, who is one of like 20 goalies that once upon a time Vegas Golden Knights had to go through when they ran into a cluster of injuries.
Well, I think that everybody's understanding that there's only so much of a run you're going to get out of a goalie right now, because it's that hard to play goal in the NHL right now, Kipper. And it's everywhere. I mean, yeah, we'll talk about the league-wide save percentage at 90 right now, which is the lowest in like 30 years. But it's the east-to-west chances. It's the grind. It's teams not taking the easy shots, you know. And I think it's just never been harder, and the stakes have never been higher. So I think that we're going to continue to see these short bursts. You're going to get 5, 6, 7 games out of a guy, and then it's time for the next one. Let that guy get 2 weeks of work with the goalie coach. One issue that I've had with the NHL schedule this year, it's going to be the same next year, is you're missing a lot of practice time. So this is a way to afford your goalie to get back in there with the goalie coach and build yourself back up so you can go on another run. My first game in the NHL, I hear you, what you're saying about how much energy you can come up with and play with that emotion and play with enthusiasm. But I remember getting the call from Butch Goring and saying, hey, Val, you're going to play tonight. And I'm playing my first game, and I'm trying to just walk over the bags in the locker room to make myself over, on my way over to my stall. And I can barely feel my legs, like pick them up. They were so heavy because of the nerves, you know. And in game two, I went into Ottawa, and this was the 2000 season. Ottawa, this was a big game actually for the Leafs, because it was playoff ice implications. And we got outshot 48-13, and we won 2-1. I was just playing on pure adrenaline.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking. I just went blank. And it's a good reminder, because the more you think, the more you hurt yourself. But I do know that only lasts so long. There's only a short run of that desperation, that motivation that you can really play on. And then you settle in and you are who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is relevant to what I wanted to ask you about Colorado's goaltending situation. They get Blackwood and they sign him to a contract like immediately. You know, are they going to like that contract? Did they need to sign a 5-year deal there?
Yeah, I wondered about that one, Borny. Yeah. I thought it was early, but you know, it's like, I think everybody understands the price isn't going down with these guys that are, if you identify them early. Like, a message to Pat Verbeek, he's got to sign that Dostal to his extension. His price is going up. It's not going down. And I can say that to Pat, even though we've never met. His brother's my financial advisor. But, you know, seriously, get him signed, because the good ones, when you identify them, you know, there's a lot of good data to back up Blackwood. There's a lot.
Okay.
I know he hasn't had the playoff success, but he's a big guy that's really kind of, over his years, figured his game out. I do like his game a lot. I can see why Colorado goes there. But a little early, maybe they didn't want to see him go on a run, because Colorado knows they're one of the top defensive teams in the league. And if you put that guy in your net, maybe his numbers get inflated. Let's get to this early. I'm sure they had a thought process like that when to get it done.
Valley, interesting storylines when it comes to the Nets here in Ontario. Let's start first with the Ottawa Senators, because I know at times we rolled our eyes a little bit at Allmark, but it's really too bad that this happened at the worst time, when the Ottawa Senators were rolling, that they've lost him now week to week.
Do you know what it hurts? And I'm looking at this chart here of scoring chances against. It hurts the morale of the team. It hurts the spirit of the team. What's Travis Green's job? It's to get the spirit of this group high enough to go out there and compete together, family, loyalty, and battle. And defensively, Ottawa is the 6th best team in scoring chances against this year. They're legit. They should be in comfortably. Allmark was great And he was, but the Ferrari, it can't go to the garage every 2 weeks and be out of commission for 2 and 3 weeks at a time, because you know what? You lose a little bit of that team spirit. And come on, guys, we've all been in the locker room. Unless I see a guy with a sling on and crutches get out on the ice, right? Like, you're always questioning it. I'm sorry. It hurts guys like us when we get married because our wives are never hurt or ever sick, and nobody understands why we are the way we are, right? My wife comes back from tennis last week. She's limping. She's like, I think I have a tear in my quad. I'm like, no, you don't. You're fine. Oh,
you didn't tell her to suck it up, did you?
You know what I mean? Yeah, because like, you're walking fine. I mean, you're not even limping.
Get a good lawyer.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. I mean, we lost that sensitivity chip, I think, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in junior hockey. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody in Washington. I watched or listened to your show, Kipper, and I know you were there. But one of the coaches said, when was the most fun you ever had playing hockey? You know, and I didn't have to think long about that. It was when I was playing for the Sudbury Wolves, when I was playing for the Erie Otters. And he's like, yeah, that's what it's like playing for the Washington Capitals right now. We're playing junior hockey. Guys don't want to leave the rink. We love being here. Everybody's blocking shots for each other. Everything's celebrated when you come to the bench. Nobody ever wants to leave the rink. Well, guess what? Across the street, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Opposite. And guess what? It's a job across the street. And that's why they're struggling. And that's why one team is doing that well and one team is doing that poorly. The spirit was lost this year here. And it was gained in Washington. That team last year, Kipper, the Rangers went through them hot knife through butter in the first round.
Yeah.
They were a joke, really. And I thought they were done. And then they retooled and figured it out. And for all intentions and purposes, man, they're a legit contender right now.
So, it's funny how success and failure feed on itself, eh? Like, you start to have some success, you start to believe in each other, and, you know, the opposite is true. It's just the rosters are not that different. Like, one's terrible and one's awesome, but there is a belief thing makes a big difference.
Well, how do you explain how the Rangers can go that dry offensively? You know, everybody's tight. And then you start kind of getting through it just in little groups, a couple guys here and there talking to each other after a couple beers. They're the two best players in the world, but we've lost, they've won 6 of 22. But, you know, and there's that. And then there's also the one where there's not enough accountability, right? Because the nicest team I ever played for was the Springfield Falcons in the American Hockey League. And that was the least successful season that I had ever played on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's dangerous as well. You have to strike the balance between calling each other, you know, eye to eye out on stuff and holding that accountability strong.
Just one more. Are the Leafs by far the best team in the league who have earned points solely from their goaltenders?
Well, I think it's interesting because I spent a lot of time last couple of days on Wall, as well as how you say it, Kipper, hillbilly.
Yes. No, they held the beast the other night.
Yeah. Barney, last week I told Kipper I was driving and my coffee came out of my nose when he said that. Like, directly out of my nose.
I'm glad I can do that for you. I owe you a coffee.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about the importance of, again, like elevation in your stance, being able to come down strong, posture. I think when you back it up, if that's lost during a save, if it's lost, something happened incorrectly positionally before you lost your posture, mm-hmm. your elevation. And when I watched Hildeby in his latest game, you'll see it in the first period. There are three or four rushes that come down the right side, and he's off angle. I know it sounds like, come on, he's an NHL goalie. Well, it happens. And sometimes when this happens, it really throws off your tracking because now, even when you're off, think about the hockey puck. It's only 3 inches. So when you're off 3 or 4 inches, I can tell on television. I can take my computer system that I have in the software, and I can take lines and take it right to the release of the puck and see where the goalie is and whether or not calculate if he's in the middle of his net or not. Some goalies will argue they are screened on specific shots, but they're not in the middle of their net. So you could build a screen on yourself if you're off center, and you could say, well, I experienced a screen. I was screened. Well, yeah, you were screened, but do you understand that you weren't in the middle of your net? So you shouldn't have been screened. Now, the same holds true for somebody coming down the wing. And what I see with Hildeby, which is going to be something that he's going to have to just correct right now, is that he can't lose himself in the middle of his net because it also throws off his squareness. Now, if you've missed angle and squareness, you will surely have a tracking problem. With with Wall, what I saw with him recently is the blocker. His right knee is not coming down on the ice when he's making a blocker save. That's why he's giving up so many blocker goals. That's why everybody's shooting blocker on him. Now, high glove, over the glove, he's only been beat three times this year, Joseph Wall. Over the blocker, 11 times. Low blocker,
that's a big swing.
Six times. So, excuse me, everything is blocker side right now on him. And pay attention to when you're watching the next game, when he's in there, where everybody's shooting. They're going to shoot blocker side because they're recognizing that he's getting a little ahead. And you can oftentimes do this, especially on a lefty, because you start lining up to the body a little bit too much. And lefties love low blocker. Lefties love low blocker. And now you're trying to come down on the puck, but you're off a little bit, and the knee is not getting down on the ice, which means you're not pitching forward. You're not able to cut it off. And that's something I'll be watching with him. Any goalie's going to tell you, fellas, it gets harder and harder to play in this league after every lap because the book gets a little bit thicker, and that's one thing for him I think he's just got to pay attention to.
We'll be watching for that as early as tonight. We're on Sportsnet Ontario. It's Toronto Maple Leafs and the Philadelphia Flyers. Hey, Valley, as always, great stuff, man. Thanks for doing this.
So much good stuff. Thanks, buddy.
My pleasure, fellas. Enjoy the game.
Straighten out those Rangers, would you?
Oh, my goodness.
Good luck.
That is Steve Valiquette, analyst with the New York Rangers on MSG and Clear Sight Analytics, CEO.
What do you think? A little weaker on the
Why'd you,
side?
Give me the big,
What's up?
You gave me the big glare when I said the Leafs probably are the best team in the league when it comes to the goalies.
They've had good goaltending, but their defensive metrics have improved massively. They give up a few more shots here and there, but it's not the quality that they used to give up.
How many times have we said they would have lost that game if it wasn't for their goalies?
So you're just completely discrediting. You're crediting the defensive improvements.
Yeah, that's where you're nuts.
You're nuts.
Analytic crapola.
They have legitimately the best shutdown pair of the league.
We do not agree.
Give me a good goalie. You got a good coach. You got
the slot shots and all the stuff of this, it's all gone way down. Anyways.
The one thing they're way better at is high danger chance. Yes. They give up fewer of those. But the goaltending, it is
matters.
Crazy.
They've been good.
The second they don't get that goaltending, we're like, oh.
But it's allowed to be good. Like that, he plays on the team. He's part of the team. It's like, oh, he's always a goalie.
There's close to 20 teams going. You're allowed to be good, but you're not.
Question for you. He said that lefties love to shoot low blocker. I've never actually asked you guys. Well, both of your when you scored 60 in the O, and what was your go-to move?
I liked five hole.
Five hole.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know if I scored a five hole goal in my career. I get the sense we were very different.
So you come down on a breakaway. You're firing it.
No, but you got to. Toe drag, you got to go...
Backhand five hole?
You got a sleeper, forehand, backhand, through the legs.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a lot of deeks and deception.
Okay.
A lot of fakes, leaning.
But you go backhand forehand?
Yeah, backhand.
I wish I would have tried when I was younger the Kucherov, where the sweep and you don't pick up the puck, the no touch.
That is so beautiful.
I
don't know how
he
does that.
To have had the imagination to have tried that once or twice.
I might have had the imagination. I didn't have the cojones to try
There's no way.
Imagine you go to your coach. He's like, sorry, so you chose to not shoot it?
My thought process would never, I would never have had that range to go get that creative.
Yeah.
I think the two most effective moves, I think everybody would be lefty, full speed, low blocker, wrister. And if you're a lefty, and then the fake blocker side cut to the backhand are the two most effective moves.
Yeah, so I like to cut that one back, though.
Back to the forehand off the... Oh, yeah, that's too much.
Because everyone does it. Everyone goes backhand.
Yeah.
You know? But they're so big now. You got to Valley's point, you got to get them out of the middle of the net. You got to get them leaning one way or the other. You got to get them to lose their net or else there's nothing to shoot at.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's... If you put your average... Put Sam out there with an NHL goalie square to him and say, where do you want to shoot? There's nowhere. There's not an option.
Five hole.
You physically
That's your
have,
only yeah, chance. Hammer one
6-7.
Low as hard as you
but
can.
You need to make the move.
Game time?
Game time.
All right. It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, the latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. I was looking at the Leafs game for tonight, and I do think the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to win tonight. It's rare that I feel like that, but I do think that they're streaking. Yeah, maybe they'll probably lose, but cooked up a little bit of a same-game parlay here for that game. I think William Nylander gets off the schneid tonight. Got Bobby McMahon on the other wing. Bit of a wake-up call for him. He'll be flying up and down the ice. He shoots one in tonight. The Leafs to win and Willie to score is plus 260, so I like that one for the Leafs tonight.
Good bet.
The other games that are going on, big one in Detroit tonight. The red-hot Red Wings are going up against the Ottawa Senators, who need a win big time. The Ottawa Senators are minus 115 on the money line. The Detroit Red Wings are minus 105, pretty close there. The Bruins are hosting the Edmonton Oilers. Really good night of hockey tonight. The Oilers are big faves in Boston, minus 150. Bruins are plus 125 on the money line. And what else do I got here for you? Carolina in Tampa to take on the Lightning. Really good one there, too. Tampa is just plus money, plus 100 on the money line. Carolina is minus 120.
I'll comment on the Detroit-Ottawa game tonight. This Red Wings team, like since McClellan has taken over, they've now won four straight games.
Yeah, since they got smoked by the Leafs that Saturday night, they've won four straight since then.
Now they're 2 points behind Ottawa.
Yes.
Like, that team was dead and buried. Yes. I understand Ottawa's played one more game. But it's like, wait, I was sure the Red Wings were cooked and Montreal. So,
Sens have kind of blown it here.
All right, with that, we'll pick it up.
Hold on. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Okay, there you go, buddy.
Nice close, Sammy. Off that, we'll pick up the conversation on where Pittsburgh and Columbus lie in the Eastern Conference and where they go from there.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh back in this thing?
They are.
We'll discuss after the break.
Oh, I don't get to do it now.
Yeah, see, you miss one day and you just cannot pick up my...
Come on. Nope, that's on me.
All right. More when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Matt Marchese.
And I'm Mike Fiuta.
We're discussing the top stories of the day across the NHL and the hockey world, weekdays at noon.
It's the Fan Hockey Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kipperos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Sammy, why are you all giggles over there?
We'll talk about it off air.
I was zoned out.
You can't do that to our listening audience.
We'll talk about it off air.
That dirty?
No, it's just stupid.
Oh, okay.
It's not worth the time of our wonderful listeners.
But it's stupid enough to amuse you.
I'm an idiot, so it's very easy to amuse me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. We accept that. We now move on.
As we look particularly in the Eastern Conference, yes, the Rangers did invite everybody back to the party, but it really is like maybe one of the weakest that we've seen in quite some time for a possible berth in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This should be really hard. We're talking about like 83, 84 points right now to make the playoffs. That's like unheard of.
This is Bettman's dream right now in the Eastern Conference.
Everybody's crapolas and everybody just throws a dart on
the Buffalo Sabres.
The wall.
Lost 13 in a row recently. And they are, what are they, 6 points of the last playoff spot?
I was actually going to say there's 15 teams with a chance to make the playoffs in the East, and you just pointed out Buffalo, and it's like, they're not out.
They're not out.
One's out of playoffs. That's great.
Is that good?
No.
Well, I don't think so. But you'd like a few teams to not be.
So it's just.
But the top's no good.
But it's not fooling everybody. We just had in our first hour, if you haven't listened to it, go back and download the podcast or watch it on YouTube. Daniel Briere say they have no ill-conceived notion that they will make the playoffs. They're 39 points. The number's 41.
Okay. 2 points on the
playoffs. They're 2 points
GM's
out.
Like,
we're done. We're done. So what are we trying to sell here?
Well, I think you're trying to sell that fans don't see the big picture and that they believe their teams are in it and they keep going to the games and buying tickets.
Okay.
That's what Bettman wants.
All right. Haves and have-nots, baby. This is the Premier League. This is the Champions League. Like, we've talked about this for 3 years. There's just a lot of really mid teams.
I did have a thought driving in here today, thinking about the National Hockey League, as I always do.
Yes.
I feel like a team like the Winnipeg Jets could win the Stanley Cup this year. You know, it's like they're in that division with Minnesota, who they're better than, and they're in there with Colorado, who, you know, we know their top end's really good, but like Connor Hellebuck is about to win. Well, he's won two Vezinas now.
Yeah,
and he could win a third. He's like by
MVP candidate here.
MVP candidate, going to win a third Vezina. And I was thinking about his inevitable Hall of Fame induction speech because he's a Hall of Fame goalie.
Yes.
Every one of those guys has a year, has a playoff year, has a run where it's like, and Hellebuck just dragged them. Can't you see them?
Like, even the guys that didn't win. Like, think about Lundqvist when they went to the finals. Think about Price when they went to the finals and they
even
beat the
Thornton,
Habs.
Marleau, they never won the cup. But they had years where they just, like, were great in the playoffs. Like, great players. I could see Hellebuck having
just
a year
needs,
like that.
You're right. He just needs the 1 year. And maybe it's just enough of the first round to just shut the door. Just shut the door in the first round.
Beat up on, like, the Flames who sneak into playoffs.
The Blues or somebody. It's like you get rolling. Then you're good, but
I'm still not sure if they're big enough back there.
I just wonder how the Jets fans would make it about the Leafs if they won the cup.
If what?
I wonder how the Jets fans would make it about the Leafs if they won the cup. So they like to talk about.
They parade the cup down the streets of Owen Sound just to drive it home to you.
Yeah, right.
Like Logan Stanley's huge, but he's probably not going to play for them in playoffs. Like I'm curious to see how aggressive they get because Morrissey, DeMello are very good. You're right though; it's not they're not huge. Pionk, Stanley, Heinola, Coughlin. Right now, is there? There's a couple of injuries there.
At least, and tonight will go a long way again in that Eastern Conference between Pittsburgh and Columbus. It's nice to see Columbus not really like they're like Montreal right now. They've drawn their fan engagement back, like to respectability, where you feel like, okay, at least we're not scraping the bottom of the barrel anymore.
And they made a coaching change this offseason, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Everson.
Everson, yeah. Everson's got them playing well. You know, they obviously...
He's done a nice job. He really has.
Considering the tragedy at the start of the season, trying to get that group going, the way they played...
They offered the job to McClellan first, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah, and...
Didn't want to shell out the...
Not the Bucks.
So were we to assume that Detroit spent a couple of extra bucks?
Well, he was at five, right? So you have to negotiate. I think he still had term on his contract. So you had to, part of the delay, I think, was negotiating with the LA Kings. It's really goofy for the coaches. You can't double dip.
You can't make, you should be able to double dip. You don't want me. You still owe me that money. We agreed to it. Someone else wants me. I can now go work for them.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that you're not a player. You cannot get bought out or be owed money from another team and still play for another team.
Like if the Kings owe him his $5 million and this team wants to pay him $5 million, that just takes the Kings off the hook. So, he doesn't get any additional money.
So if he signs a new contract, if he signs a new contract and it's for $6 million, then he. They get to use $2 million off of the LA Kings, and you pay up the rest, right? It's a split. It's always a split. No team, if they're paying you to stay home, then they don't want you to, I guess, pay you to compete against me. So it's up
you
to the
fired
other.
Fired me. I'll do what I want.
It's up to the other team. It's goofy. I agree.
Yeah.
It's one of the goofiest things I think I've ever heard.
Who's the coaches?
Coaches have a union.
Who's the coaches?
They don't have.
They have an
don't.
Association, without a union.
You know, please.
Please.
It's like
what?
Being
it's like
a
the
part
UN.
Of the.
Hey, stop doing that.
It's like
no,
being
stop it.
Part of the auto
it.
Club. Maybe they'll come and start your car if you're lucky.
All right, so not binding is what you're saying. The
so
association.
That's, but again, not throwing it off topic here, but it's nice.
No
Columbus,
topic.
There's no topics.
Columbus would be a great story under the circumstances with what they've
Incredible.
Gone through.
I think that's who you'd root for to get it.
You know, here's my vote for most underrated player in the NHL this year, Kirill Marchenko.
Yeah.
Marchenko is on pace for, well, let me just pull up the numbers here, but I think he's got to be 30 goals.
He's
so, 40 games played. He has 17-26 for 43 points. So he's on pace for 34 goals and 86 points. He is 6'3", 200, 24 years old.
Wow.
I mean, this guy's a hockey player.
Now, that's an underrated guy.
That's legitimately an underrated guy this year. Yeah,
absolutely.
Plus 22 on the Columbus Blue Jackets, by the way. Not too shabby. Playing almost
19. Plus
22? Yeah.
My Lord.
I know. Minus 23 the year prior, so.
And they're a minus eight as a goal as a team. Yeah. So it's like he's making
a massive difference for them.
Yeah.
So yesterday you missed our show. Never got to ask you about the World Junior Championship.
Oh, yes.
Ending on 3-on-3 for like a regular overtime.
Why can't they just keep playing hockey to get a winner?
Not even for 5 minutes or, you know. But, like, the whole time.
Do they have a game the next day that they needed to stay fresh for?
That's, if it's the semis or it's, like, it's the quarters, and I would understand 3-on-3 for 10 during that because you got to play the next day. It's
don't
a back-to-back.
Don't bag the guys before the...
It's the gold medal game.
We're trying to determine the hockey winner. Play hockey. Yeah,
the hockey, just play 5-on-5. That's a good amount of guys out there. We figured it out.
I didn't...
just do that.
I didn't know the rule until they said it, and I'm like, it can't be. Yeah. It can't go through all of this playing real hockey to decide a gold medal in a pond hockey
in
game.
A hard-fought
and it's
game.
Such a different sport, 3-on-3. Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes, like... It's the longest 5 minutes in the NHL watching everybody like regroup and take it out and back and then clear the zone again. In that overtime, I'm like, I can't watch it anymore. I can't.
There's no action. The good news is that voids the Americans' gold medal.
Yes, asterisk.
Yeah. Didn't know if you guys knew that, but that doesn't actually count.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Did you see the there's like a fan video, a really good fan video of that stretch pass? Was it Stiga that scored the overtime?
Oh, by Freebird.
God,
absolutely.
Why are they so much cooler than us, man? Like, I can't accept this. I don't. My boy Sportsbeard's be hammering me. I'm crying again about it, but I'm like, God.
But they did have the song queued up to like the most perfect part of Freebird.
God,
that really. Did haul ass, I'll be honest.
You poor thing, Sammy.
I just hate they're so much cooler. So much
actually,
better.
No, I saw that whole chant they did in the dressing room after that. Not
you don't think
cool.
That's cool?
No, not
oh,
at
that's
all.
So cool.
Lame.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, they did like a cool
they
chant.
They do a call and answer sort of thing they're that kidding. I didn't
see. Are you
going to
be okay
to,
when, if the USA win like the Four Nations?
No.
Are you going to be okay?
No.
Should we get you a
no, like I'm telling you right now, it's gonna be like I hope we're not doing shows.
Matthews
that
is looking great.
We come back and then it's like, what happened? Don't know. No comment.
You just won't be here.
Yeah, just crying, tears in my eyes. But yeah.
My favorite was the year the Leafs lost a few years ago in playoffs, and asking Sammy what he did in
Boston or Tampa. Pick one.
Yeah.
Which one?
And he said he went outside. Sammy doesn't smoke, by the way. And he said he went out and he just smoked cigarettes in the backyard.
Had like three darts.
Just laid on a chaise lounge and smoked.
I did do that.
Darts.
I did do that. I smoked a couple darts. I like a cheeky dart here and there. What can I say? But yeah, Listen, I'm a fan and I care. I take this stuff hard. And it's
Edmonton at Boston tonight.
Love
like
it.
It's not getting easier for the Bruins here.
Bruins are rotten. So. One of the things we're going to talk about tonight on our broadcast, the Leafs Regional, is like teams that may sneak into the final playoff spot in the East. I don't think the Bruins are going to make it. I think there's two teams sneaking. I think the Bruins might miss.
How do they?
I'm telling you, just go right back to the handling of Swayman for me, for the Boston Bruins.
Didn't need to be like this.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Who's at fault? Swayman?
No, it's the Bruins for not identifying that he needed $8.25 million and just get it done.
Just
get him in training camp, pay him, get it done.
Agreed.
8.91 save percentage this year, 2.91 goals.
Bruins have the worst combined save percentage in the NHL. Want to get this in real quick. First words of this article, Arizona is looking to bring the NHL back to the desert. Maricopa County is trying to make it happen.
Of course they are.
They do.
I got the ownership group.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
You got your guy?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. I want in.
All right.
I'm just going to be playing golf every
day. $80 to throw at it.
Consultant in Arizona.
Our thanks to Daniel Briere in the first hour as we get teed up for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Philadelphia Flyers. Also, Steve Aliquette, thank you very much. Enjoy your 10 games tonight. We're back tomorrow.